coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Long ago, a man looked up at the countless stars and believed a promise. Dr. Tony Cook says God's gift of faith makes us children of that promise.
God made a resolution, and in Jesus, just at the right time, it has been fulfilled. And it's been fulfilled for you.
And Lutheran Hour Ministries CEO Kurt Buchholz looks ahead to a new year of outreach opportunity.
People who don't know Jesus are like those who don't realize they have an inheritance that's just waiting to be claimed. LHM has always been devoted to bringing the gospel to people where they are. And that tradition continues today as God leads us in bold new directions.
Hello, I'm Mark Eicher. Thanks for joining us today. Your gifts and prayers help the Lutheran Hour bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Thank you for your faithful support. The Reverend Dr. Tony Cook is our Director of United States Ministries, now with a message titled, Children of Promise. Here's Dr. Tony Cook.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we begin, join me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as the year draws to an end and another is about to begin, we come to you today to reflect on your word. As we do, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to remind us of your gracious gifts and promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite New Year's resolutions is attributed to the American pastor and renowned Christian educator, John H. Vincent. Vincent was known as a skilled preacher who used his rich voice and gracious manner to preach the Word of God throughout Northern Illinois. While serving in Galena, Vincent became the pastor and friend of Ulysses S. Grant. Famous friends aside, Vincent was best known for revolutionizing Christian education and the practice of Sunday school. Vincent believed that education, which was once the privilege of a select few, should be offered to all as a basic human right. In 1909, as the new year was about to begin, Vincent's beautiful resolution was printed on a calendar to inspire all who read it in the coming year. "I will this day," he wrote, "try to live a simple, sincere, and serene life, repelling promptly every thought of discontent, anxiety, discouragement, impurity, and self-seeking, cultivating cheerfulness, magnanimity, charity, and the habit of holy silence, exercising economy in expenditure, carefulness in conversation, diligence in appointed service, fidelity to every trust, and a childlike trust in God." While I, too, am a pastor and educator, I must admit that my New Year's resolutions pale in comparison to his. In fact, my resolutions, they reflect the vast majority of New Year's resolutions made today. Resolutions focused on less selfless ideas. I resolve to lose weight. I resolve to exercise more. I resolve to save more money. I resolve to finally clean up the basement. Who am I kidding? Like 92% of all New Year's resolutions, my resolutions, my promises made to myself, normally go unfulfilled. In the book of Galatians, however, we learn of a resolution, a promise, that does not fail. It's a covenant, a promise made by God Himself and ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. It was a promise made to our spiritual forefather Abraham, known at that time as Abram, and it was a big promise to keep. At that time, Abram was without an heir, and fearing that he would die without a child, he believed that his estate would be passed on to his head steward. But God had a different plan. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, we read, "The word of the Lord came to Abram, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.' Then he took Abram outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And here's the amazing part. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham had faith. He had faith in God's resolute promise, a promise that would be fulfilled generation after generation until finally at that right time, in that specific place, Jesus would be born. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, we hear these words. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God has sent his spirit into our hearts, the spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but you are God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. You are the sons and daughters of God. You have the very spirit of God within you, a spirit that speaks not vain resolutions, but that cries out to God, Father, Father, you are God's child and his eternal heir. No one in the world can ever take that away. And how did we become the children of Abraham? How did we become the heirs of God? In the same way that Abram did, by the gift of faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, we read, Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. But until Jesus came, we, like Abraham's household, were under a steward. This steward, however, was not a man. Instead, our steward was the law. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, we read, Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. This is one of the most beautiful yet difficult truths in Scripture. The truth that just like Abraham, we are people of faith, not people of works. We're people of grace, not people of the law. But as I look back over this past year, I'm amazed and saddened by how often I forgot this truth. I stand convicted by all of the times that I allowed myself to fall back into the grip of the guardian of the law, allowing myself to be locked up again and again and again. It is during times like these, during times of doubt, during times of trial, during times of temptation, times when my faith is weak, that the law looms over me. And all I can do is return to the Word of God. Returning to the Word of God to remind myself of how futile it is to turn to the law to be saved. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, it reads, For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. You see, my friends, Jesus has truly redeemed you. He has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse himself. For our sin, for our failures, for our doubt, for our unfaithfulness, Jesus allowed himself to be bound. He allowed himself to be beaten, to be killed, to be crucified, so that we might have an eternal family, a place forever in the house of God. Jesus provides us with the forgiveness and love and reconciliation we need. Jesus provides us with a way back home. And through him we are saved. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, we read, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For all of you are one. You are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You see, my friends, you are a promise fulfilled, a promise given to our father Abraham, a promise that through Jesus, his offspring, God himself would create a nation that outnumbered the stars, a nation that would bless the world, a nation clothed with Jesus in the waters of baptism, a nation that belongs to him. You belong to him. You are the children of the promise, the children of Abraham. You are God's mighty nation, dressed in white robes of righteousness that have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus. And the nation we comprise is unlike any other nation in the world. For it is not bound by geography or race or political affiliation. God's nation finds its unity in the promised offspring, in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And in this Christian unity, we become a kingdom of priests, a holy people, a family of grace, bound together in Jesus and in Jesus alone. This is a promise for you, and for your children, and for your children's children, and for every generation that follows until Jesus Christ comes again. It is a promise made to all who have faith in the promised Son of God, Jesus. As we reflect on this past year and we look forward to the next, we are reminded of our identity as God's adopted children. We are reminded that we are the children of promise, that we are heirs to his kingdom. I encourage you to move forward in this faith, clinging to God's unending grace, embracing the freedom Jesus has won. And if you are tempted to listen to the call of the law, the call that would take you captive again, I want you to know that Jesus has set you free. If you feel worthless, know that God considered you to be worth the life of his Son. If you feel unloved, I want you to know that God's love for you in Jesus is deeper than any that you've ever experienced in this whole world. God's love for you is eternal. You will always be loved by him. There is no need to fear. For in Jesus, God is on your side. God is your Father, and you are forever his child. And together we can cry out to him, "Father," and our Father will hear. I cannot think of a greater message that is needed in our world today, especially as this new year begins. God made a resolution, and in Jesus, just at the right time, it has been fulfilled. And it's been fulfilled for you. As I conclude my message, I want to share with you another of my favorite New Year's readings. It's a hymn titled, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. It's written by Martin Luther, another great preacher and educator. He wrote it for use by his family at their Christmas Eve devotions. This hymn is based off of Luke 2, verses 10 through 14, and it reminds us of this promise fulfilled by God that we heard about in our text for today. From heaven above to earth I come, to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say and sing. To you this night a child is born, of Mary, chosen mother mild, this tender child of lowly birth shall be the joy of all the earth. 'Tis Christ our God, who far on high had heard our sad and bitter cry, Himself will your salvation be. Himself from sin will make you free. Now let us all with gladsome cheer follow the shepherds and draw near to see this wondrous gift of God, who hath his own dear Son bestowed. Glory to God in highest heaven, who unto us his Son has given, while angels sing with pious mirth a glad new year to all the earth. Abraham's children, heirs of God, there is only one resolution that I am compelled to make at the beginning of this new and uncertain year. I resolve to know nothing but Jesus and Jesus alone. Happy New Year. Amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and that was the Reverend Dr. Tony Cook. Joining me now in the studio is our president and CEO here at Lutheran Hour Ministries, Mr. Kurt Buchholz. Kurt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mark. The sermon text for today from Galatians really speaks to what Lutheran Hour Ministries has always done and continues to do today, working to expand the family of God by bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. God has made us His own through faith in Christ. We are now heirs to His kingdom, and God invites all people to receive that gift.
And we get to share that message of grace every day with people around the world in many different ways.
People who don't know Jesus are like those who don't realize they have an inheritance that's just waiting to be claimed. It's our privilege to bring them that good news. Lutheran Hour Ministries continues to equip laity just for this reason, so that the gospel can be shared around the world.
2017 marked the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It was also the 100th anniversary of our organization's founding as an auxiliary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
It's been a pivotal year for Lutheran Hour Ministries. We thank God for 100 years of volunteer involvement and ministry through bold gospel proclamation on radio, television, and now digitally to new generations. LHM has always been devoted to bringing the gospel to people where they are, and that tradition continues today as God leads us in bold new directions.
Like what, for instance?
We are continuing to expand our global footprint with new partnerships and initiatives that take us to places where people have no opportunity to hear the gospel message of love and salvation found in Christ. For example, our partnership with Sat7, Christian Satellite Broadcast Network. Our work with them expands our reach into 20 Arabic-speaking countries. Television is the main source of information and entertainment in these areas. To broadcast Arabic language programs that are culturally relevant and that share the gospel message, now that's powerful.
And what about our work with the Barna organization? What are they helping us to do? How will it strengthen our efforts? And what are the benefits?
We are partnering with Barna to obtain research that will help guide the creation of programming that addresses the needs within the world today. Our first round of research was focused on evangelism in the digital age, and it provided critical insight on what the unchurched are seeking and how we can effectively equip lay Christians to speak to those needs. This research will be the catalyst for new courses, which will be added to LHM Learn.
Speaking of that, this year saw the launch of that online educational platform called LHM Learn. What's available there?
LHM has always been about energizing and equipping lay people to share the love of Christ in their everyday lives. LHM Learn puts outreach resources at your fingertips. You'll find a variety of online courses that cover the basics of Christianity, provide tools for personal evangelism, and help you to better understand demographic and cultural factors.
The Lutheran Hour will be especially visible tomorrow for those who watch the annual Tournament of Roses parade.
Yes, it will be seen by millions of viewers, either in person, along the parade route, or on televisions worldwide. The Lutheran Hour Ministries float remains the only Christian-themed float in the parade. It's a long-standing project of our Southern California district and is made possible through the work and support of thousands of volunteers each and every year.
Kurt Buchholz, President and CEO of Lutheran Hour Ministries, thanks for being with us today. We wish you a happy new year and God's blessings to you and your family.
Thanks, Mark. And on behalf of LHM staff here and around the world, I just want to wish our listeners God's blessings in the coming year as together we continue bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church.
To learn more, go to LutheranHour.org. How did Nicholas, the Christian bishop of Myra, become Saint Nicholas? How did Saint Nicholas become Santa Claus? And how did Santa Claus become a symbol of everything that our culture gets wrong about Christmas? Learn the history and the answers in our video resource titled, The Real Saint Nick, Leader, Legend, or Lie? Pastor Ken Klaus looks at the traditions surrounding St. Nick and the way he's been characterized over the centuries. learn the real story of how Nicholas took his faith to the streets and made a real difference as a follower of Christ. For more information, call 1-855-JOHN-3-16. That's 1-855-564-6316. Looking ahead to next week's program, Dr. Dale Meyer returns with a message titled, Breaking News. Epiphany calls us to believe that light has come into the world. Why then are so many Christians distressed about the future of the church? Dr. Meyer presents a message about confidence in the new year.
People sometimes tell our seminary students that this is a bad time to get into the ministry. I meet people who are discouraged about the future of the church. Do you believe? Times and conditions around us might be bad, but the Lord of the church is alive and leading us through the darkness. It is not our church, it is His. The future of the church is not on our shoulders, it is on His cross, His resurrection, and His coming again to take us to heaven. The future of the church does not depend upon our human strategies, our meetings, our budgets. We've got a story to tell, an epiphany to share. The church can be confident about the future because of His promises.
Dr. Dale Meyer, next week. Now Dr. Cook leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, and the Lord give you His peace. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.